to another episode of Stuck in My Mind podcast. I'm your host, W-I-Z-E, and my next guest is an entrepreneur, a men's coach, and the fearless host of the Nico Lagan Show. Welcome to the show, Nico Lagan. Hello. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, that's great. I realized we're doing it live, so I'm like, I have a StreamYard account. I'm like, I'm going to share this with my guy. To be part of this. What's going on? Thanks for having me on. And I guess you can't fix stupid, as you were saying. Whoops.
Oh, man, it happens. It happens. How you doing, brother, man?
Life is interesting, man.
Life is
very, 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 very interesting. And yeah, it's... As I was saying before, I was not arguing. I don't argue with people online, but I was chatting with people online, and man, there's some people out there that
you just can't help. Yeah, no, I feel you. But all right. So, can you share a bit of your personal journey and how it led you on your mission as a men's coach and an advocate for modern masculinity?
Man, where do you want to go? Where do you want to start with this?
Let's start with the journey, because I've read up a little bit on your journey and everything. Former addict, former drug dealer. Let's start with there, man. What led you down that path?
Lack of a father figure. You know, like most men, look at men throughout history. There's a good reason. You look at tribes, you look at societies, you look at any type of place where there was people hanging out under the same belief system, they always had rites of passages for men. Men are made. Boys are born, men are made. And men are made through trials and tribulations. And we all need this. It's like it's coded in our DNA. When we're boys, men, and even as mature men, even today, I look up to people. There's certain men out there I'm going to look up to. There's a guy I know I look up to. We always look for people that we can try to emulate, people that we believe are good people, good men. We're like, I want to be like him. I wonder how he did it. How can I be like that guy? And when my dad left, not that he was extremely present prior to this, but when he left, that kind of left a void. And, you know, Steve Harvey, I should learn the quote, but I absolutely love what he says. But basically what he means is that when a father leaves, it leaves a hole in the soul of his son in his shape. So if the father leaves, there's a massive hole that needs to be filled. And what did I know at 14 years old what a good man was? So I tried to fill that hole with what I believe was a good man, but I had no idea what it was. So before you, like back then, I was a big fan of rap music, and I'm not talking about the weak stuff that you hear today. Like I'm talking about the gangsters, the guys that came from nothing, like the Wu-Tang, the Nas, the Mobb Deep, the Tupac, the Biggie, the guys that sold drugs, that did a lot of bad things in order to get there. But when I looked at it, those guys had money, they had women, they had cars, they had success, they had fame. I'm like, man, those guys are doing something right. And as funny as it sounds to say this today, I wanted to be the first white rapper. And that was before Eminem was a thing, right? So technically, I wasn't that messed up. Like it was a possibility. I was never that great. Also, it was not going to happen. But the point in the matter is that I idolized the wrong people. And, you know, look at people today. There's no difference. Like I just posted a video the other day about Britney Spears, about what I remember of Britney Spears in the 80s and the 90s. And I started looking, you know, her target audience are young women between 16 to 25 years old. You know how many followers she has all throughout her platform? 150 million followers. And if you look at what she was and what she looks like now, she's not a good role model. She is not a role model young women should have. If you have kids which are women and they follow that woman, you need to explain to your kids that this is a woman that has issues, that she needs to deal with those issues. But we don't do that anymore. Like we look at what our idols are right now. We're looking at famous people, famous actors. What do they know? Yeah. What do they know about real life? You look at that.
Yeah.
What do they know about real life? I'm not saying that, You look at an athlete, that guy dedicated a lot of his life, if not most of his life, to get where he's at today. He's probably extremely disciplined, extremely trained. He's very focused on what needs to happen. Does that make him a good person? No. That gives him good attributes that could make him a good person, but that doesn't make him a good person. How many of those guys spend most of their money helping others? Not a lot. There's some, but most of them don't, because we're selfish. And that's exactly what I was. I was selfish. I didn't care about anybody else than myself. So everything I did was for my own little pleasure. And there was nobody there to teach me to say, listen, as a man, you need to be serving others. Because that's what men are supposed to do. If you look throughout history, men build societies in which their family can thrive in, because nature's brutal. So let's build a wall between us and nature by creating societies where we can all participate and build a better place for our children and our wives. That's what men do. We build, we protect, and we provide for them. But we don't teach that to our kids anymore, because this is technically saying that there's gender roles. And how dare you say that there's gender roles, right? But at the same time, 33 to 40% of young men right now are raised without their father in the house. Can a woman really teach a boy how to become a man? They can't. It takes a man to teach a man to teach a boy how to become a man, in the same way as a father can't teach his daughter how to become a woman. But he can make sure that he surrounds her by women that are good women that can teach her. And the same is true for men. And this is what I lacked. My mother did not do that. My mother did not think about this. So my mother tried to play both roles. But what happens when you're trying to be the mother and the father at the same time? You mess up both. And that's what happened. And, you know, within the span of a year or so, I was dropping out of school. I was partying every day. I was a drug addict. I was drinking every day, which makes me an alcoholic. I was a thief. I was selling drugs to support a habit. Within 3 years, I lived by myself. And now all I did is that. I didn't care about anything else. All I did was party, sell drugs to support my habits. That's it. That was my life for almost 7 years.
Wow.
But that's what happens when men are left without supervision. Like back in the days, like 20, I'm 41. So 27 years ago, this was not the norm. But today you're talking about 33% to 40% of boys, depending on the study that you look at, are growing up with other fathers. And I'm not saying the father's left. I'm just saying that there's divorce rates, and 90% of the time that there's a divorce, the kids end up with the mother. And the father's extracted. Like he's not in a relationship, or he sees them every now and then, whenever she feels that he can see his sons. So we're left in a situation that I'm not an exception anymore. I'm starting to be, what I've been through is starting to be the norm. And now you have access. Everything is so well connected that you can find everything you're looking for online. But yet the knowledge, the understanding of what you should be looking for is not there anymore. So imagine, I only had access to a few things that I liked that I thought was good with my very limited understanding. But imagine today, you take your phone, you can deep dive in anything you want. Anything you want. So we also live in a society that we idolize sociopath. If you know a bit about psychology and you look at most CEOs of massive companies, they're sociopath. What's a sociopath? Somebody that lacks empathy. We don't teach empathy anymore. We just, how many people have you heard in your life that are self-made millionaire? Bullshit. There's not one. I don't believe for a second that there's somebody that's a self-made millionaire. There's somebody somewhere that helped you out. You didn't do it alone. But that's how selfish we are. That's what we tell people. So instead of telling our sons to, you should nurture relationships. You should surround yourself by great people, people you look up to that can teach you the ropes, that can show you what it is to be a man. We tell you to be selfish because you can do it alone without anybody else in your life, which we both know that's not true. Yeah. We both know those are lies. And what happens when you do that, you end up like I was.
And that's something me and my nephew, we talk about this all the time, is the lack of a village, is the lack of a community, and the lack of people building together. And that's what they've taken away. They've taken away communities where people, like, growing up, I couldn't do, like, in the neighborhood I grew up in, I couldn't do anything without my mother finding out by the time I got home. Seriously, yeah. And I'm 47 years old, so I come from a time where if you did something wrong, like in my neighborhood, if you did something wrong, it wasn't crazy if the neighbors kind of took a whack at you too. it was different. It was a different time. We respect our elders. It was like I know every time I seen someone that was a mother, one of my mother's friends or whatever, it was like, oh, good afternoon, Mrs. So-and-so, whatever. We was very respectful. Mm-hmm. And now it just seems that now we don't have that community aspect. Like, a lot of people don't even know their neighbor. They don't even communicate with their neighbor. They don't have no type of relationships with their neighbors.
And, you know, the African proverb that says that it takes a village to raise a kid. And it's 100% true. I totally agree with you. And, you know, go even further than that. Look at the difference between living in the city and living outside the city. I spent most of my life, I come from a small town. Then I spent 20 years in big cities. And then over the past 4 years, I spent 2.5 of it in the middle of nowhere. And then I've been on the road exploring the U.S. for almost 14 months now. So I'm used to going to small portions where the RV parks. So that's always outside the city. I wouldn't trade living in the city for living in smaller communities any day of the week. Like, never going to happen. The difference is night and day. People actually care. And once you understand psychology, it makes sense. Like, there's a book that's called Tribal Leadership, which is mostly for business people. But the aspect of it explains that over 150 people in a company, your company starts fractioning itself. It starts breaking out into smaller tribe. And it's interesting because when you start to understand the reason why is you can only learn so many names. You can only deal with so many people on a day-to-day base that you won't care for the outside of 150 people. It's almost impossible for you to know so many people, to have personal relationships with those people to a point that you care for them. So what happens? It fractions. And that's what big cities do. There's so many people all together that you never take the time, because you know it's not possible. Deep down in your head, you know that it's not possible for you to know everybody. So yeah. You don't know anybody. And what happens when you don't know people? You don't care for them. What happens when you don't care for them? You're selfish, because you don't have compassion. You're not kind. You simply don't see the relationship between you and others. And, you know, we're basically all from the same place. We're all interconnected. And, you know, in Buddhism, they say that in order to know the world, know yourself. Start by knowing yourself. You will know the universe, because we're all connected. We're all part of the same whole. Very interesting when you think, well, it's interesting in a way that this is not common sense anymore. It's not common knowledge anymore. To say that you need others in order to get better, that you get better by serving others, that you should lead by example. As Gandhi said, be the change in the world you want to see. Life is not that complicated when you consider it. The day that I started taking accountability for my actions, the day I realized that I was not a good person, that I was a thief, I hurt a lot of people that I loved, I was selfish, I didn't care. I just didn't care. The day I realized that I was really an asshole, I'm like, ouch. This makes me a very bad person. I have two choices. I continue being the way I am, but now that I know, I can't. I even though I did not care, now that I know, I have to care. I have to be better. I have to do something different. And that's where it all stems from. Accountability. Take accountability for your actions. Hold yourself accountable for your actions, because you chose them. You don't choose the cards you're dealt. We're all born in a different situation, but the way you choose to play them, that's 100% on you.
So how do you address the challenges and criticisms that come with your unapologetic and your controversial approach to advocating for masculinity?
How do I deal with it?
Yeah.
I'll be very blunt with you. Exactly like this. There you go. This is how I handle it. Two middle fingers right up in the air. Hey, listen, I don't do anything to piss people off. I don't wake up in the morning and say, I will create some content today to really piss people off. That's not my intent. But at the same time, I'm not going to tiptoe around your opinions or your feelings because they might get hurt or you might get triggered. That doesn't belong to me. But what I talk about, I feel it needs to be said. Like we were talking about just before this, we were talking about a video about Trump that's saying that Biden's not going to make it. You know what? I'm not a Republican, although people think I am, but I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But when somebody says something right, I agree with it. When somebody says something wrong, I disagree with it. It doesn't matter to me that yesterday I agreed with him and today I disagree with him. I don't know anybody I agree with 100% and I never will. So what's the problem with that? How is that controversial to say that, you know what? Donald Trump is right when he says that. Oh, RFK said something else. I don't agree with a lot of things he says, but you know what? In that case, he's right. Bill Maher, same thing. I don't agree with 90% of what he says, but sometimes he's right. And when he is, I'll talk about it. I'll share it. I don't go out there to say, on purpose, let's piss people off. But what's right is right. We as men are supposed to be courageous. This is the number one thing. Every man out there should be courageous. If you're not courageous, that means you're not dependable. Because in a stress environment, in a stress situation, nobody knows how you're going to react because you're not courageous. Somebody that's courageous is always going to react the same way. Do what needs to get done when it needs to get done, no matter the situation in which he finds himself in. But if you're not courageous, you're not. We can't know how you're going to react. So your family can depend on you, your community can depend on you, and you're asking me, how do I do it? Simply by being courageous. I know every single time I post something that a third to half of the comments are not going to be good. Every time I open my phone, I turn my phone on and I turn my apps on and I go check, I know for a fact that it's going to be stuff insulting me left and right. That's fine. I don't care. I don't know if you believe in God, but I do. And I believe that God will always give me something I can handle, no matter what. I know what I'm supposed to do. I have purpose in this life to help others, no matter what the consequences are. Like me or not, that's fine. I will live my purpose no matter what it means. I don't have a relationship with my family because they don't like the way I am. I'm not going to apologize for it. It doesn't belong to me. You don't agree with me? That's fine. That's okay. But at the same time, am I going to stop sharing my opinions because people might not like it? I quit my corporate job that I could have stayed at for the rest of my life and makes hundreds and hundreds of thousands every year, but I didn't like it because I couldn't share my opinion. So I'd rather share my opinion and start from the beginning again than just coast around for the rest of my life, keeping not standing up for anything, not being courageous, just letting people tell me what I should believe and live a life of, I don't want to say a mediocre life, but years ago, I read a study that the guys went around and they spoke to people that were dying on their deathbed. And they asked them, what are your biggest regrets? You know what the biggest regret is? Living a life that others expected of them and not living the life they wanted to live. Never. Since I read that, I'm like, hell no, never going to happen. I will live. I'm a good person. Deep down, I'm a good man. I mean well. If everything that I do it with good intentions. I follow my heart. So can you say that I'm doing wrong? No, I'm not. Plus, the truth hurts. In a world where common sense is no longer common, the truth hurts. So am I surprised that people are calling me names or calling me this or calling me that? No. Because if they didn't, that means I wasn't going to have an impact. The more people I hate, the more I know deep down they care. Because if they didn't care, you know what they would have done? They would have skipped forward. They just would have skipped. They would have skipped to the next one. But they took the time. When somebody calls me name, you took time out of your day to stop, press comment, write a comment, type post, and I respond to most comments. And if you respond on top of it, you care. Because if you didn't, you would have skipped. So at the end of the day, you care. So I will engage with you.
Makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
I think so. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because in my head, it makes sense to you.
So what inspired you to write your book, Purpose? How following your personal legend is the answer to your midlife crisis?
Because I went through it. I you know, back in 2020, when we all know what happened, I was put in a situation because I refused to take the medication. I was threatened by my job that they would fire me. And in Canada, the restrictions were brutal. And, you know, when that happened, I moved to the woods because I was a sales engineer, was wearing a suit. I was in front of customers day in, day out, right? So I needed to be in the city where my customers were. But I had an investment house in the middle of nowhere. So when all of that got canceled, I'm like, okay, I can work remotely. I'll work from the middle of nowhere. So I literally lived, imagine this for a second, the most Canadian thing you can imagine, log house, top of a mountain in the middle of the woods. That's where I lived. And I stayed there for 2.5 years. And for about a year and a half, I was by myself. And as an extrovert that normally had woke up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, studied, went to the gym, went to work, taught martial arts. Those were my days. This is what I did day in, day out. Now I was in a situation with no distractions. I had my 9 to 5 still, but all the rest of the time I was by myself doing what? I had nobody around me. I built myself a gym. So, okay, I was exercising, but outside of that, I spent time alone with my dog. You tend to have a lot of time to reflect on yourself, on reflect on what you've done. And considering I was in a situation where I was being threatened by my job, like that was my career that I worked out for about 20 years to get where I was, that were threatening me this and that. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't control this. But what do I control? My reaction, right? So what are my transferable skills? What can I do? It's no different. Most people out there might not be faced with a job that's trying to fire you. But the feeling after a while, like between 35 to 45, every man out there gets to a point where they start looking at what they've accomplished. And you know what? It's a fact that I'm halfway there. If you think that life expectancy for a man is between 72 and 80, that means as a 41-year-old, I'm more than halfway there. I'm on the back nine as I like to play golf. So I'm on the back nine. I'm on my way back to putting my stuff in my car and calling it a day, right?
Yeah.
You start to realize, you're like, what have I accomplished? What have I done? Have I helped others? Have I helped others? And then you start realizing that, man, I'm meant for more than just this. I'm meant for more than just a 9 to 5. If we take into consideration that the biggest regret is not living a life that you wanted to live, that puts it in perspective to me to say, maybe you know, spending time alone by myself is the best thing I've ever done. Because it gave me time to reflect. It gave me time to be bored. It gave me time to think. It gave me time to reevaluate everything that I thought was real to me. Because when you're just grinding day in, day out, time flies. Next thing you know, you're 45 years old. You're like, what the hell just happened? And most men don't have the structure to say, they don't have an older guy to say, hey, bro, you got to be careful, man. You got to be careful because the next thing you know, you'll be 60. Now, what are you going to do? We don't have people around us to smack us on the shoulder and say, bro, it's time for you to calm down a second. Sit back. And, you know, if you were smart, you built a career, you built knowledge. There's nothing stopping you from start doing something else. Something that's going to be more meaningful in your life. Because, you know, purpose, the book Purpose I wrote for men 35. I like to think like, let's say 40. Yeah. Men around 40. I assume that if you're at that point in your life, you had children, you provided for them, you did the best that you could to be there for your children. That means that for the first time in your life, because think about it, to me, there's three purposes. A boy becoming a man through rites of passages, through more mature men teaching him how to do that. A man becoming a good man, a man that's dependable, a man that's a protector, that's a provider, a man that serves. And then once that guy has served, he's been selfless for a long time. Now he's like, okay, I'm at a point where my kids are taken care of. My wife's taken care of. I have a career. I have skills. I have knowledge. I have wisdom. What's the next step? What can I do to really leave an impact on this planet? Whatever that means to you, because we all have a different path to follow. But that's the question. This is what the middle life crisis is for a man. But we ridiculed it to a point where men don't even want to say it anymore. They don't even want to admit that they feel like shit, that they're like, man. And we're talking guys that have careers. We're talking brilliant guys. But at the middle of their soul, they're like, man, there has to be something more than this. That can't be it. That just can't be it. That's why I wrote the book. Because as I went through it and then I reflected over the past year and I'm like, man, there has to be men that are going through the exact same thing. And what do you do? What do those men do? Because that's the question, right?
Yeah, no, it was for me, like you said, I was just going through the motion of life. I didn't have my purpose. I didn't know what I was meant to do in this world. And I got furloughed from my job and I was home doing nothing, isolated from everybody because I live in the mountains in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
So it was nothing much to do. And I started podcasting and started having some wonderful conversations and started learning so much and started developing skills like editing audio, video, all these different things that I didn't know I was capable of doing. It's not like I'm from the media. I'm a table games dealer at a casino.
Nice.
But I've had some life experiences. I was widowed at 31, spent many years being self-destructive, didn't care about life. And it was just like I suffered one tragedy after another. And I was lost for quite a few years, like just drinking myself to a drunken stupor, just being self-destructive. And and one day, and I'm not a religious person. I don't follow a set religion, but I am a believer. I do believe in God. And so one day I'm going through all the struggles that I'm going through and everything, and something speaks to me and says, "This isn't your path. You're better than this. You need to turn your life around." And after that, I went sought help, started speaking to a counselor to deal with my grief and everything that I've been through, and just started changing my mindset. Stopped focusing on being angry all the time over some things that I had no control over, and started focusing more on what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? What am I here for? And I started getting into self-development. I got back into self-development and just changed my mindset and started focusing on living, being a good man. And when I started doing that, things started falling in place. I met my wife that I'm with now. Things just started going in a much better direction. And it took me to really face the grief that I was dealing with and face everything that was just the anger issues, because it was crazy because I lose my wife in 08. 09, I reunite with my father that I hadn't seen in 25 years. Didn't know nothing about him. Reunite with him. I go see him Father's Day weekend of 09. I get there Friday. I forgive him. We say our peace and all everything. The next morning he passes away.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
So it was like, I'm just not 1 year removed from losing my wife to reuniting with my dad only to lose him the next day. And so I'm like, why me? Why am I such a bad person that all this is happening to me? And then a few years later, I realized that if God didn't believe I was strong enough to handle these situations, he wouldn't have put this, he wouldn't have put this on me.
You're bang on.
Yeah. If he didn't think I could deal with this and deal with these struggles and deal with, then it wouldn't have been put on me.
And God will never give you something you can't handle.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not going to push you to the extreme, that he's not going to kick you to your knees and say, you know what, bro, let's go. On the contrary, that he will do that. but it's never more than you can handle. You can always, always handle it.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. I do believe in God. I do believe I have a purpose, and being able to do my podcast and express myself and have these conversations and have people come tell their stories. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing, because when I get those messages from people, be like, yo, this episode I heard from you, thank you. Mm-hmm. Or this episode over here, man, oh man, it was really great conversation. And it's those comments that I'm like, okay, if I impacted one person's life, I am doing the right thing, because it's a ripple effect. You don't know what kind of effect that person is going to have on someone else.
How do you change the world? One man at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change the world? One community at a time. One man changes one community. One community ends up changing the world. It's very simple when you think about it, but it means you need to embrace something greater than yourself. And, you know, you look at today. I'm not somebody that believes in depression. I don't think depression is real. I think depression's a cop-out. And the reason I say this is, have you ever met somebody that has purpose that's depressed? Have you ever met somebody that's depressed that has purpose? So, you know, a man's life without purpose is meaningless. No doubt they're going to be depressed because they don't know why they're here.
Yeah.
Is there something more torturing for your mind than not knowing where you belong, not knowing why you're here? And take even further than that. Imagine that you believe with all your soul that you don't belong. Not that you don't know, because it escalates, right? You can be convinced that you have no reasons to be here. Like, look at what happened with your father. You lose your wife in 08, then in 09, you meet your father after 25 years, and then he dies. There's two ways you can see this. You can see it as, man, God's punishing me. What did I do wrong? It's his fault. What an asshole, that guy. That there's no such thing as a loving God. I'm the living proof, and say, screw you, man. I don't like you, and get away from me. Or you can understand that you gave your father probably the best gift you could have given him. That the only reason he died the day after is because he was at peace. So there's this is really where being mindful of what's going on, like, around you, understanding that there's no such thing as coincidences. Everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. The only reason you don't understand why is because you're not taking the time to understand it. Or it's possible that you're not supposed to understand, that you do not possess all the knowledge. Like I say this all the time, where human beings, we play checkers. God plays chess. We have no idea what all the moves are. We have no idea that our suffering right now is to build us in order to produce something better 10 years from now. Because pain and suffering are the greatest of teachers. Nobody changes because everything's going well in their lives. People change when they hit rock bottom, when continuing to do the same thing is no longer an option because it hurts too much. This is when people change. When Einstein described insanity as doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. This is what happens when somebody changes. When there's really deep-rooted change in someone, is because they're so much in pain that they don't have a choice. It's no longer an option. You need to change because you cannot take it anymore. And your two choices are put a bullet through your head or just admit that if your life sucks, it's your fault. That happiness is not a goal, is not a destination, it's a mindset. You choose to be happy. You choose to see good things in your life. Because guess what? You might be happy this morning and be pissed at night. That's life. That's life. And it's a state of mind. And you can't build that state of mind if you don't take accountability for who you are, for what you are, and what you should become. So to me, hearing that, I never got the chance to speak to my father. Like when he left, I saw him in a handful of time. He died when I was 29. And I wish I would have sat down with him. I wish I would have taken the time to just go see him, even if it was just for one day, just to say, no judgment, no nothing. I'm not pissed at him for leaving. I'm not. It's, you know, I'm not, I don't know the whole story. Yeah. I know what my mother told me, but when's the last time you heard somebody hold 100% of the facts? Never. It's always, the way they perceive it, and then you ask the other person, it's a different way. And, you know, I look at the relationship that I have with my mother now, and I can see how she could have made his life extremely difficult to see us. Am I apologizing for him? No, because he was a coward. But does that mean he did not deserve to be loved by his son? Does that mean that he couldn't have been there for his son? I don't believe that anybody's too far gone to be saved. I don't think that, you know, there's situations where it's going to be very rough, but look at you. 25 years later, do you know how much hate he must have had for himself to have done that? And after a while, it's just, it's so normal to him to be in pain that he just takes it. It doesn't hurt enough, but he just takes it. That's what the comfort zone is, right? But yet, chances are, you gave him peace before he died. That's beautiful, bro. Like, really, that's super cool. Like, from a third party's, I'm talking as a third party. I'm not saying it was cool to you, but to me,
no, it was like that, and it's crazy because my brother from my father's side, he called it. He told my younger brother. He says when dad sees Will, he's gonna move on. Because he was sick already, and his thing was, I'm gonna die, and I'm never gonna see my son again. Mm-hmm. I'm never gonna be able to tell my son how much I love him, and so when I had the crazy thing was, I had already forgiven him years prior, mm-hmm. and so to really sit down with him and tell him, like, listen, it's okay, I'm fine, it's we're good, like I'm no longer angry with you. We can build something from here on out. And so to have that closure in a way was something that was, it was really, at the moment, at that time, I wasn't looking at it that way. It was more, why me? Why does God hate me so much? But years later, after when I got out of my own head and got out of the clouds and really started wanting to live, it was that, okay, yeah, we got closure. I was able to tell him, I forgive you for everything that I've been through and not having you in my life for the last five. So being able to express that to him and let him know that it was good, we were on good terms. And so now I realize, yes, it was a special moment.
And, you know, this is why God is so beautiful when it comes to this. He gave you an opportunity to have closure. Mm-hmm. This is something I will never have. I will never have that type of closure with my biological dad. It's never going to happen. But at the same time, the fact that he left and left that hole has given me purpose. I do this. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if I hadn't been through it. So at the same, this is why I can't be pissed at my dad. I'm not mad at him. I'm not, man, if I meet him in heaven, it'll be all hugging. I'll give him a handshake. I'll hug him and that'll be the end of it. Because at the end of the day, my life purpose is based on helping men because he left. So as much as he did it in the wrong way, the effect, again, we play checkers, God plays chess. You think that's a coincidence? No, there's a reason why he left. I might never know it, or maybe it's as simple as saying that my purpose in life is so much greater than having my father in my life. It could be as simple as that, because I needed that hurt in order to learn and become the man that I am today.
And you're absolutely right. And it's crazy because someone asked me, do you regret all the loss and everything that's happened in your life? And I said, no. My answer to them was no. I said, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone else. Seriously, yeah. I said, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone else. But no, I don't regret anything that's happened in my life because it's made me who I am. This is this was the path that was chosen for me. And like we said before, he won't give me anything I can't. So, like, I can't, he wouldn't burden me with something that I couldn't carry.
this is where it's beautiful, when you start accepting those things. Yeah. When you start accepting that, you know, we're so arrogant when we believe that God is punishing us. We're so arrogant because we claim to understand everything. Yet it does not belong to us. It does not belong to you. It does not belong to me. I cannot choose most of the situations in which I find myself in. But you know what I choose? The way I react to it.
Mm-hmm.
The way I choose to see them, that's mine. That belongs to me. To try to see the good in things, I'm an optimist. At the end of the day, I'm an optimist. If I see a situation, I will try to see what was the good out of that situation. Because, again, if you understand and admit and accept that pain and suffering are the greatest teachers, that means that if you're meant to learn, you're going to have to suffer. So basically, if God loves you and wants you to become a better person, he will make you suffer. Not enough to destroy you, just enough, because again, we said it multiple times, just enough to what he knows you can take, because he knows the person you're going to become outside, like once that you've gone through it, is going to be exponentially better than what you were before. And this is the key. How many times in your life can you think of all the, of how many times in your life have you been in a situation where you're, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this. It's so bad right now. It could be financially, could be emotionally, could be whatever. It could be literal physical pain and say, I'll never get through this. At the moment, it seems impossible, but then you get through it. And if you're self-aware, you'll take the time to reflect on it and say, man, if I had to go through this again right now, it'd be a breeze because I know what to expect. I've been there before. I know what it is. I know what to expect. And I'm way stronger than I was now. And maybe it's not physically. Maybe you lost something, but mentally you are. And this is the beautiful thing. This is where life is so freaking beautiful. Yeah. When you start understanding that there's no such thing as a coincidence. God will not give you more than you can handle. And you going through it will make you better.
Absolutely.
It's simple.
Yeah, no, life, it's great.
Life is simple, man. I'm not saying it's easy, because simple and easy are not the same thing at all. There's a massive difference between the two. Yes. But life is simple. Very hard. Not easy at all, but extremely simple.
Yeah, it is. But like you said, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy going through stuff we go through in life, but it's again, it's how you respond to it. It's like you said before, it's how you have no control over everything, but it's how you respond to it is how you can, it's what you control.
Bruce Lee said, don't wish for an easy life, wish for the will to go through a hard one. I'm bastardizing his quote, but let's say that those are the words. That's what he meant.
It's something similar to that, yeah.
He's Chinese, so he didn't know how to speak English, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. It's don't wish for an easy life. There's nothing to be learned out of an easy life. And no. I believe, I know for a fact that we're here to learn. What would be the point? What would be the point of us living if the whole goal wasn't to come here to learn,
experience,
to be better? You know, when I read, I'm a big fan of mythology, and I read Egyptian mythology, and they were explaining how in their belief system, when they face God in order to go to heaven, God will take their heart and put it on a scale. And if that scale, and on the other side of the scale is a feather, if your heart is lighter than a feather, you're accepted in hell. What does that? You're accepted in heaven. What does that mean? You don't have any remorse. You've lived a good life. You've done more good than bad. Your heart will be lighter than a feather. And this is, I think about this all the time. The day I meet my maker, I want to be able to tell, to look at him in the eyes and tell him, I've done more good than bad. How simpler can it be to live your life by those standards, to say that I will help others, I'll be compassionate, I'll be kind, I'll be there to serve, I'll lead by example, I'll try to be better. I'm broken. My father was broken. Your father was broken. You're broken. And you know what? Doesn't matter. I will still try. I will still try knowing that I'm a sinner. I'll still try knowing that I'm broken inside, that there's things that are never going to be okay, but I can deal with them. I can be better.
The easiest thing was to give up.
Oh, yeah.
The easiest thing was for me to give up on life. But that's not what I was here for. That's not what my purpose was. I had to experience what I went through so that I could have this experience, so that I can come on to the podcast and discuss what I went through and my struggles and how I've overcome those struggles and turn my life around. It's just, and to have you come on and tell your story and everything you've been through to come out where you're at now, this was meant to happen. This interview was supposed to happen. This was supposed to happen so we can come out and share this message and one of the things you talk about is that men are under attack, and we are. Mm-hmm. We are. Look at a lot of the situations where Jonathan Majors, he's going through some legal stuff right now where his girlfriend accused him of abuse, and it comes out that she was the one who's the abuser. She was the one that hit him, but yet they arrested her, decided not to press charges, and sealed the documents, and yet he's going to trial. How is that possible?
You know, look, in Canada, if, let's say, my girlfriend and I are in my house, the house that's under my name that I paid for, but she lives with me. Let's say that's the situation. She starts hitting me. I'm a big guy, and I fight myself not to do anything. I just restrain her. I call the police. The police comes. Do you know who they take out? Me. That's the law in Canada. I'm automatically taken out of my own place because technically I'm the violent one, even though that's not the case.
Wow.
But that's how it works. So, you know, this is a whole different topic, but we live in a society today that good men are taken for granted. And I'm not saying Major is a good man. I don't know him.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is women are taking men for granted. Women have the audacity and the privilege to say that they don't need men. Yet, who do they call when they need help? A man. Often a big man with a gun. Who do they need when their house is on fire? A man. Who fixes their car? Men. Who fixes their plumbing? Men. Who picks up their garbage? Men. Who fixes the house that they live in? Men. Who build a society in which they live that they can be so privileged that they can show so much arrogance and say that they don't need men? Men. So we're so disconnected. And I'm not trying to blame women here. I'm just saying that we're so far disconnected from each other. It makes zero sense. Zero, zero, zero sense that now we're to a point where if a woman says something, men need to be extremely careful, because if she says that it's true, you're going to be crucified before you ever enter court. And this is what's happening with Majors. Mm-hmm. So this to me makes no sense. How can you be crucified by public opinion? Yeah. But this is the life that this is where we live in. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for young men out there. I really, really feel bad for them, because they don't have a lot of options. They have to be extremely careful. Man, I remember years ago, I was on a date with a girl that I've seen multiple times. We had become like personal, intimate, if you will.
Yeah.
And she's at my place, and for some reason there was alcohol involved. I don't really drink anymore because some of those situations are uncontrollable, but there was a bad situation. So I just asked her to leave. I'm just like, you know what? This is crap. Well, I'm not dealing with this. Please leave. I took my phone out and I started recording. I made sure I called an Uber that was under my name to make sure that if the police ever showed up, somebody, I could track it on my phone to say, I put her in that driver. That driver will attest that she was okay. He dropped her home. But I recorded the whole thing just because of what you see going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dangerous for men.
Yeah.
But how insane is that?
It shouldn't have come down to that. Absolutely. But the way society is now, you have to protect yourself.
You're a man, you need to be smart.
Yeah.
You really, really need to be smart. You can't
put yourself in predicaments like that. Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate because 40 years ago is not something we needed to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it comes down to awareness. As we were talking earlier, you need to be very aware of yourself, your actions, who you allow around yourself. You are the sum of the five people closest to you. Absolutely. You are. If you have toxic people around you, chances are your life is going to be toxic. So don't allow people that you know shouldn't be there because they're hot and you like to sleep with them.
But Nico, man, this has been a wonderful conversation, brother, man. Time flies when you're having some great conversations, man. Like we're almost up to an hour, man. This has been great. But now you get the solo screen where you get to plug away, let everybody know where they can find your book, your show, everything.
NicoLagan.com, under resources, you can find my book Purpose. I had a great guy do the narration, and don't pay for it. You don't need to go to Amazon and pay for it. You can have it for free on my website. I'm giving it away. You can find all my social media there. You can find all the appearances that I'm doing on podcasts, because I'm doing a bunch of them right now. But if you want to stay up to date to what I'm doing, just name the social media I'm on it. I'm on like 8 different social media that I post on every day. So.
All right, man. Thank you so much for being a guest, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, definitely, definitely, man. But don't leave just yet. Let me close out the show, and me and you chat a little bit more.
No worries, man. No worries.
But let me just close it out right quick.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. That was a great show. Shout out to everybody who tuned in, Latina and Cali. Thank you for leaving all those comments. Greatly appreciated. Big shout out to my Real Wise fam, Poppy J, Brandy J. Love you guys. Big shout out to the Boss Lady. Love you and appreciate you, baby. And as always, a big, big shout out to all the essential workers out there. God bless y'all. Be safe. You know how your boy Wise does it. Peace out.